So welcome to our precious midday, midweek opportunity to gather in our shared humanity, really, you know, to practice with friends. We so need this right now, don't we? You know, it's like there's so much that we're swimming in, you know, this sea of experience, and it can be settling, sustaining, to come together in some sense of solidarity, you know, a shared commitment to care, to these practices that are about loving connected presence, really. How do we live in a way that enlivens freedom, you know, our own freedom and more freedom for each and every being on this planet. So we've been engaged in this series now on the hindrances. The habits of mind that obscure freedom, that often entangle us in the world, in agitation, in aversion, in grasping, in the quagmire of sluggishness, in the hesitancy of doubt. So I thought we would do just one more in this series that actually is about deepening the cultivation of noticing the freedom. We've done little bits of this, but I want that to be the focus of our practice today. Really noticing freedom, noticing the absence of the hindrances, or even the presence of their opposites. Because this is an aspect of practice that I think sometimes we miss, we shortchange, we skip over, we don't deepen into. And there's freedom in noticing the entanglement, like that there's wholesomeness in that, and there is freedom. But often what I find in my own system, and as I sit with students and clients, is that we don't have as much familiarity with the mind states that are easeful, where there's a measure of contentment or comfort. And we often don't have as much sometimes I think the word that captures it is we don't have as much tolerance or comfort or capacity with these more pleasant or easeful mind states. Like, we think we don't deserve them, or that, like, oh, if we're going to do the real work, we got to get back in the trenches with the difficult or the painful. Or there might be something where we feel like it's not okay because there's still so many other folks who are really struggling or suffering in this moment. But you know, this is such a long journey, right? So we really want to not miss the nourishment. So in the spirit of that, let's sink in. Let's sink into practice. Taking care to settle and support the body in a posture that offers access to a measure of ease and alertness. Sitting or lying or standing, whatever posture you choose, with dignity. So there's a quality of elongation or uprightness or aliveness in however you're positioning the body in support of waking up to well-being. And then choosing what to do with your eyes, whether eyes remain open or softly focused, half open, or perhaps closing all the way. We take in so much visual stimulation every day that there can be a simplification in this sense gate that's really supportive of wakefulness and well-being. Taking a few slightly deeper breaths. And with each exhalation, inviting a letting go. A letting go of past and future. A letting go of any measure of tension in the body. That's willing or able to soften and settle. A letting go of any measure of tension in the mind. That feels possible, a slight releasing in the knotted quality of thinking, the entanglement in story, or worry, or imagining. Letting go even of the wish or the longing for letting go. perhaps turning your awareness to the inhalation for a few moments. Feeling how each in-breath energizes and enlivens. Drinking in the nourishment. Feeling the vitality. How this cycle of replenishment and release supports wakefulness and well-being. If it feels supportive, you might settle into the simplicity of just being with the anchor of the breath for the next few minutes. Or if it is more skillful for you today to choose another anchor in the body or sounds, doing so. Just letting the next few minutes invite a deeper settling, a stabilizing of mind and awareness in the here and now. as you wake up to this moment right here. Notice if there's any measure of well-being. Perhaps the well-being of the freedom from the stickiness of wanting. The wholesome desire the motivation that brings you to practice today. And the nourishment that can be found in this wholesome intention and dedication. The nourishment that can be experienced in the absence of ill will or aversion. A spaciousness that might allow for the energy of acceptance or kindness to arise. The well-being of welcoming rather than pushing away. The freedom that can be felt when we're not weighed down by the sluggishness of sloth and torpor. but instead are enlivened by the vitality of mindfulness. Presence and engagement with the experience of this moment. Perhaps noticing the lack of restlessness, savoring freedom from agitation, drinking in the peace of a collected mind. Noticing the absence of doubt. And savoring the support of seeing clearly. Feeling how such wisdom can feed a trust, a confidence in practice as a path to well-being. So in our remaining time today, opening to any manifestation of well-being that you become aware of through the absence of a hindrance, or the presence of a wholesome mind state. You might recognize it, allow it to be here, to really know it, to become intimate with what well-being feels like in the body and mind. To nurture, cultivate these wholesome moments, let them expand, let them fill you. As we come to the final minutes of our practice together today, noticing the impact of waking up to well-being. And perhaps considering how this might support and sustain you as you move forward into your day, into the world. How it might allow you to be a guide in some way, supporting others and accessing moments of well-being. So that we might be sustained on a community level in a deeper way, supported to meet the challenges facing our world. Sustained so that we might be in service of cultivating a world where all beings know a measure of peace, ease, well-being, and freedom. May it be so. So, feels like I, in a way, maybe began the talk before the meditation as just a framing, a pointing toward this territory of wakefulness and well-being. We often forget that that is what this practice is all about. It's not just about being with the suffering with more clarity and compassion, but through doing this, it's in some way leading us toward more peace, ease, and freedom, often in these momentary glimpses, but sometimes even in a more sustained way as we navigate difficulty. And there's this beautiful capacity that we're invited to cultivate that often is not illuminated or quite as obvious, because it's the capacity of noticing the absence of difficulty or distress, which is more subtle, right? Difficulty, distress, in this case, the hindrances, you know, they often are more obvious. It's like, oh, I know when I am in a dust devil of doubt, or I am caught in a vortex of agitation, or when I have surrendered to the heaviness of sluggishness. Like, we recognize these states, they're more intense or dramatic, and we often miss, you know, the freedom of, oh, I am not restless in this moment. So we can notice it sometimes through the absence. Like, sometimes there's actually not some big positive state that shows up. It's actually just the absence, and it's kind of a quiet stillness, a settledness. And we can use our rain practice, which we revisited last session, for looking at the hindrances. We can use that same practice to look at the absence of, to investigate, you know, to recognize, oh, there's some flavor of quiet here. There's some flavor of freedom. Oh, there's an absence of something. We can name it. We can recognize it. We can allow it. And rather than just skipping over to the next hindrance that appears, we can sort of drop into that pause, that moment of peace, and bring that same investigation, that curiosity. Like, what's it like? What's the absence of aversion like? Oh, the breath is a little deeper. Or the mind is a little quieter. Or there's just a bit of space around whatever it was that I didn't like so much a few minutes ago. Oh, and what happens in that space? You know, maybe we investigate, like, so what am I believing in this moment, in the absence of active aversion? Oh, I'm believing that maybe this isn't how it's always going to be. Or maybe I have the skill or the capacity to cope with this. And we can nurture this. We can nurture. Sometimes the nurturing is simply like actually noticing. The nurturing of noticing the well-being and giving it a few breaths before the next hindrance shows up or the next worry on the train. It's almost like, sometimes there's that teaching that's drawn from the London Underground, mind the gap, right? It's, you know, when you step off the London Underground, there's these big gaps that you don't want to fall into. So there's this voice that's saying, mind the gap. And in our practice, we're invited to, like, mind the gap between moments of suffering. You know, mind the gap. So I think of, you know, if our practice is like watching the trains, you know, running through the mind and all those cars. You know how sometimes there's just this flatbed that's got nothing on it on a train? It's like this little gap, this space. Sometimes the moments of freedom are like that, you know. And another one might be coming. Another load of something might be coming in the next car. But there's these little precious pauses that I really want to keep inviting us to notice, because there's nourishment in those pauses, and we deeply need that nourishment right now, right? There's so much that's loaded on these trains that are moving through our hearts and minds, you know. The fears, the imaginings, the heartbreak, the despair, whatever it is, you know, that's piled high. There are these moments, these pauses, these precious experiences of freedom, and the more intimate we become with them, the more we nurture those moments and don't just let them fly by, the more we will recognize that there's more gaps in our day, there's more gaps in our minds than we know. You know, so we train. We want to invite a training here too, not just to notice the difficulty and go deep, but to notice the freedom and go just as deep. So I might pause there and gift us the opportunity to be in breakout rooms to just share, what's your relationship with freedom? You know, what is, what's alive for you in this noticing of what's not there? and you'll have about 7 minutes together, and I invite you to enjoy each other's company, and then we'll come back and have a few final reflections. Welcome back. I'll just see if there's anything that might briefly want to be shared before we close with a short poem. Thank you. Beautiful. So I thought that I would share a poem. It's another one from that book, The First Free Women, Poems of the Early Buddhist Nuns. This one is entitled Upasama. They're titled by the names of the nuns, and it translates to calm. How do you cross the flood? You cross calmly, one step at a time, feeling for stones. How do you cross the flood, my heart? You cross calmly, one step at a time, or not at all. So, may you, in the coming weeks, feel for those stones, those moments of stability, peace, calm. They're part of the crossing over to more freedom. And just a reminder, I will be on retreat the next 2 weeks, so I will see you again on the 25th. And I will send you some care from the cushion and wish you a wonderful couple of weeks.